Hey guys, so something that I wanted to talk about today that's super interesting to me is magnetic therapy. And so my daughter was playing with some refrigerator magnets, and I don't know why, it just kind of hit me. I was just thinking, you know, how can you use magnets in magic? And so I started doing a little research on, like, is there any type of way to, like, use it kind of the same way that you use crystals? Is there, you know, any type of, what are the properties of it and stuff like that? And so far, this is what I found. Alright, so a little bit that I found along the lines of the folklore side of everything. So, magnetite is, basically found as an iron ore, and their astrological signs are Aries, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Virgo. It has been worn to grant warriors invulnerability and to increase their energy, endurance, you know, protect them and such. Magnetite is also supposed to draw love and to protect and also guard against any type of anger issues or any type of negativity. It's basically like, think of the concept of a magnet with the positive side versus the negative side. It's also supposed to help with spiritual matters and meditation and stuff like that. And something also interesting that I really found was somebody did an interesting experiment on, I can't remember his name, but I actually kind of looked it up after I just kind of tried it myself, which is interesting when that happens. I took a refrigerator magnet, and naturally, I don't know what it is about me. I don't know if everybody else can do this too, but I haven't heard anybody say that they can, so I'm not really sure, but, things will actually stick to my third eye, just like as if it's a magnet. So if something is light enough, such as this refrigerator magnet that I have right now is actually sitting on my forehead, and it has not moved since the time that I started this this recording. And I don't know why that is that I do that sometimes. I've noticed that my third eye will be attracted to things such as amethyst. Amethyst will stick to it and everything like that. But anyway, so this guy, again, can't remember his name, but he did a study, and after like a week or so, or like maybe even like the first time that he put a magnet on his third eye, all of a sudden he just like, he looked up and then he saw a ghostly type of figure there. And so he was like, oh, what's going on? And then also, later on, he looked a little bit of a week later, it started becoming more clear. And then a week later after that, or a couple weeks after that, he actually saw the figure in its full detail, sitting on like a mountainside or something with his like, with a female, and he was like, okay, that's done, I'm done with that crap, you know. So it has actually been a thing where people have tried to use it in opening their third eye, and so I'm just kind of like, you know, trying it out a little bit. But I heard that he got more than he bargained for, way more than he was supposed to. So sometimes if your third eye is overactive, it can cause issues. But he was using a lot stronger of a magnet than I'm using at the moment. I'm using a very small one. So it's very possible that it'll just only kind of stimulate it enough. I'm not going to leave it on too long either. I'm actually taking it off right now just because I'm starting to have, you know, that slight headache that you get from having stimulation right there, where it's like a pressure and everything. Oof. Alright, so something else that has been studied, and it's very, in a very ancient practice, is using it for health and healing and stuff. And one of those things is the concept of the human's energy field, whenever you have ailments or whatever, something like that, apparent, or it's been known for the balance of it to be off. And so since the balance is off, then, you know, the assumption with this is that a magnet should help fix another magnet, or the magnetic field of it. I think that the scientists that were looking into this study weren't necessarily looking in the right direction, because they were, because somebody claimed that it'll help blood circulation due to the iron in the blood, and obviously that's going to come up wrong because it has the hemoglobin around the blood, so it's not going to, you know, actually attract blood in that way. But also, you know, I do believe that it can stimulate more energy, but not really because of that. I think it's a little bit of a different thing. I'm not sure what I really think yet on that, but like, for example, the color red will stimulate metabolism and will increase energy and blood flow, circulation, and stuff like that. And it's not, you know, doing anything to attract red blood cells or anything like that with iron and stuff. So apparently in my opinion, you can stimulate it without doing that. Then that means that a magnet can also stimulate it without, you know, the whole basic attraction of metal. So it must just be a little different than what people are looking at. I just think that the scientists are researching it a little bit of a different way and aren't putting a whole lot of thought into it necessarily. So something else interesting that I wanted to talk about that I touched base on just a little bit was numerology. And I actually have some notes here, if I can pull it up. Alright, so there's a numerology book that I was looking at, and if I could pull it up, that would be totally great, so that I can see what the name of it is for a minute and let you guys know. Alright, it's The Secret Science of Numerology, The Hidden Science, The Hidden Meaning of Numbers and Letters, and this is by Shirley Blackwell Lawrence, and it also says introduces the inner guidance number and stuff like that. So this book is pretty interesting to me. It actually goes into, like, the music and stuff like that, like how vibrations of words, vibrations of numbers and stuff like that, and that you have to have numbers to be able to measure them and stuff, and how it plays into it. It says numbers have their own wavelength, the same that sound does and that light has, and I actually touched base on that on my book. Not very many people have read it. Totally fun. I don't blame you. You're not going to want to put money into a book that you're not going to read, am I right? But my book is Rainbow Witch by Amethyst Thistle, and it's available on Amazon for $3 as a ebook, and it's also $15 as a physical copy. I touch base on a lot of these parts, not the numerology part, and I don't think that I touch base on sound, but as far as light waves go, that was a huge part of my book, was the electromagnetic spectrum as a whole, looking at, you know, the ultraviolet, past the ultraviolet, and then, you know, past infrared and stuff like that. I was looking at those two specific things and taking them and splitting them up into their own little dimensions. So, the reason why I put in there that I believe that there are different dimensions is because if you think about it, when you take a prism and you totally split out, or diffract, if you want to say diffract, the colors, and you see each individual color, and they each have different wavelengths. They have different temperatures and frequencies to them and stuff like that. So, in my opinion, I believe that that is a way that we can step into the visible. Because the visibility of those other realms and those other dimensions that are being held within that color, or that are, you know, only seen in that color. Because if you actually look, there's a lot of different things that different animals will see that we can't see, or they can't see something that we can see, something such as that. And in my opinion, that's a whole hidden world right there. So because that is such a hidden world and we can't see it, there's no way for us to see it, then there's no way for us to see it, then there's a very big possibility that, you know, for example, when you have a dog that's barking at something that they just see there. And it's also I do take into account the fact of different animals having pineal glands, because humans have humans have pineal glands, and also animals do too, and some of them even have much larger ones than humans do, or, you know, larger in ratio to their body versus what humans do, you know. So in my opinion, since the pineal gland is what, you know, associates us with psychic abilities, associates us with, you know, the third eye and stuff like that, then it's very, very possible for animals to do that. In my opinion, not that I can actually totally verify it, just because you know, can't actually be proven at the moment. It possibly can in the future, but who knows. Okay, so wavelengths can also have an effect on the etheric body, and then because that it has an effect on the etheric body, then it will go into the effect of the physical body. So different numbers, light waves and radio waves and all that stuff can, you know, do that. Certain rhythms from songs. So as far as songs go, certain rhythms for genres such as pop or rock style music has actually shown to confuse the mind and confuse the body, even on subjects that are totally, like, that's all they listen to. And it's, in my opinion, I believe that this is a very good indicator of why people who primarily listen to those types of songs are more stressed or more depressed and stuff like that, and have a harder time getting out of depression. I can tell you from personal experience that whenever I used to be, like, back in high school, it was absolutely the thing to listen to something super depressing while you were depressed. And it wasn't very long for me, because I'm only 20 years old right now, so back in high school was like a couple years off, not really that long. But it was super, like, you're depressed, you listen to this super sad music, you're going to, like, you know, walk in the hallways and feel like you're crying on the inside and stuff like that. It was just, that's just how that world was right now. I don't know how it is in high school at the moment, but that's how it was for me. It's also shown to weaken the muscles and weaken the etheric body. So, like, as the etheric body, that would be, like, your emotions, that'd be your spiritual self, etc. Your aura, you know, stuff like that. So, wavelengths can also affect form, color, sound, heat, light, and substances. All vibrations need numbers, and that's where numerology comes in. So, what numbers go with what letters, because different letters have, it's so huge, such a huge thing, so deep to get into. But just a little basic understanding that, so since each letter goes with a number, and that number can measure different things such as frequencies, etc., and has different meanings to it, then you can take those letters and put them together and make a word, and then those words can make a rhythm and stuff, you know, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And not even just words, it can also be like that sound that the vowel or the consonant makes in itself. So ah, like a for apple, ah, you know, that sound. Listening to it on a piano or something like that, that would be connected to the number one. So the easiest way to look at numerology for the basics 1 through 9 is to write out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then write out underneath it A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. And then after, since I is at the 9, you want to skip down again, put the J under the 1 again. And so you keep doing that until you hit Z. And then it makes it where 1 has A, J, and S. 2 has B, K, T. 3 has C, L, U. 4 is D, M, V. 5 is E, N, W. 6 is F, O, X. 7 is G, P, Y. 8 is H, Q, Z. And 9 is I, R. So what about other numbers? Well, I have a list of 1 all the way to 400. And it doesn't, it's more like once it gets to 100, then it'll skip them a little bit. But one method is to play around with the numbers. So let's say you get the number like 30, you know, 363 or something like that. Then you would take 3 plus, you know, 6 plus 3. And then, you know, when you find that, wait. So, when that's 12, and when it equals 12 and stuff like that, you would take that and do the 1 plus the 2. So, you want to keep it in the number 9 area. You don't want it to go much higher, unless you're going into these different things. If you're just doing the 1 through 9, then that's fine. So, 1 is the number of possibilities. 2 is the number of black and white opposites, and it's the holder of sounds. So it's part of the mouth, the roof of the mouth, I think, is what it said. 3 is for riches, communication, and birth. 4 is a door of cosmic, it's a cosmic womb. 5 is the viewpoint, the breath of life. 6 is humans versus the divine. 7 is words and how words are understood and such, and how, you know, they incorporate into things. 8 is grounded consciousness, and it's a field of growth. 9 is wisdom. 10 is understanding and creative tools. 20 holds what we receive. 30 is for expression. 40, where life arises. 50, I can never pronounce that word. Eosteric or whatever. Teaching and growth. 60, law of attraction. 70, third eye consciousness. 80, mouth speaks divine truth. 90, osteric teachings are obtained. 100 is balance and coordination. 200 is the pineal gland, spiritual minds. 300 is chewing food for nourishment. 400 is path to knowledge. So another way that I've looked at it is kind of a way that you can look at angel numbers, which is basically the same thing. It's just that people have taken it specific to angel numbers. So some people will say, okay, So the number 777, then that means that it's a super number. So if you see a number doubled, then that number is just, you know, doubled. So for 7, if it's 7 is luck, then your luck is completely doubled. If it's triple, then it's tripled luck. And if it's, you know, 4, so on and so on, you know, stuff like that. So, that's just my little intro into those things, and then just my little tidbit about, you know, magnetism and stuff like that. I just thought it was kind of interesting because I don't really see too many people talking about using magnets. I only see people talking about using crystals and stuff like that, probably because that they're pretty. I mean, you know, why else? Why, you know, I mean, crystals are awesome, don't get me wrong. But, like, a lot of people will gravitate towards crystals before than anything else, purely for aesthetic reasons. And, you know, that's okay. It's just, when it comes to your craft, you don't want to look into things only because of that reason. Because you won't get as accurate results for things. And it blows a lot of money. Like, I mean, believe me, there's a lot of crystals. Like, I have a decent bit of crystals, not too much, like only probably about I don't know, I'd say probably 10 crystals, you know. And most of them were given to me. I think I only have purchased one of them. Well, my husband purchased it for me. Everybody else has given it to me, because most of the time I'll just be like, just give me something witchy for Christmas, Yule, you know. Most of the people I know do Christmas and don't do Yule, but you know, or my birthday. But you know, I just thought that was just a little interesting thing. I might talk about a little bit more on things like that people don't really look into very much, just because that, you know, why not share other information that nobody really shares, right? All right, bye guys. You can message me at, you know, Facebook, or, you know, my email, or Amino, and those are my name on Amino's Amethyst Thistle. I'm Sierra Joy Williams on Facebook, and my email is sierrapanda98@gmail.com. So if you want to message me on any of those, then feel free to do so. If you have any questions, or if you have anything that you want me to talk about on another podcast, that's totally fine. So see you guys soon.